Minus Three is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Minus Three with Dave Dameshek.
Vibes mostly good around Football America after round one of the NFL draft in front of the rest of the NFL draft. We're going to talk about all of it with Chad Ryder from NFL.com in just a second. Eddie Spaghetti out on vacation. Brett Coromanos, of course, you know him from Covered in Glory, is in his stead. How are you, Brett? Did you enjoy the draft as a Packers fan? Everybody is reacting. I say the vibes are good. Not so much in Atlanta, though. Everybody's scratching their head, even if you don't care at all about the Falcons. What in the hell did they just do? They signed Kirk Cousins to $180 million in March. Then they turn around and burn the eighth overall pick on a 24-year-old guy with some legitimate questions about his football future because of injuries. People also wringing their hands a little bit about the Packers pick. It makes sense to me. Maybe not sexy, but an offensive lineman. How say you, fella?
I mean, Dave, it's one of those things we get that break from the football oasis. So I try not to get too negative. You talk about vibes. Okay. I want positive vibes. Like, we get a little bit of football. We get a little bit of talk. Mm-hmm. I'm not a McAfee guy. I watch Belichick do some draft breakdowns. That was kind of fun to see him completely out of his element, showing a little bit of character over there on that show. But yeah, as far as the Packers go, listen, you found your guy. It's an offensive lineman. A lot of people are upset they didn't go defense. Cooper DeJean is everybody's favorite player in the whole world, and everybody wants to draft him. But you're going to make a big investment in this dude. Take a guy that's going to block for him.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's the thing. People don't love offensive line picks. People understand it, but it's just as a greater commitment because you need five of them versus one. And so it's easier to sort of make sense of if you're a fan watching, like, ooh, this wide receiver will get the offensive line and where it fits and how long it takes for that guy to get the grown man strength to be able to compete at the highest level, all that kind of stuff. It's a little underwhelming, but it does make all the sense in the world if you're a Packers fan. Yes, I hear you. Speaking of drafts, we had a great show in the middle of the week. Kevin Hench and I evaluated the greatest NFL draft of all time, the 1974 Pittsburgh Steelers draft. Five Hall of Famers come out of it. Go back and listen to that. Another good episode to start the week off with Hench. We appreciate you checking that out and the content we're putting up on YouTube, specifically on the Extra Points handle there. Beyond the panic stuff, which we'll talk about with our guest in just a second here, the thing that jumps out to me is it's not just with the Packers. The NFC North as a whole has suddenly risen to near the top of the standings here. I mean, the Bears can't possibly stink at this point. Let's see what they do at the line of scrimmage and how well they can support the skill positions. But I mean, Caleb Williams is walking into as juicy a spot as a rookie quarterback, I think, has ever been able to walk into with the collection of talent that he's got around him. We know where the Lions are. Your Packers are going to be good. Now the Vikings move on from Kirk Cousins, who's now in Atlanta, though probably wishing he had just stayed in Minnesota after Michael Penix arrives with the Falcons. But nevertheless, J.J. McCarthy is now the man with the Vikes, and they seem pretty loaded up as well, as long as J.J. McCarthy can maintain a decent standard of play. As long as he doesn't throw the games away, the Vikings should be competitive in what is a rugged division. The other thing is, sorry to sprinkle in a little cynicism, but as a reminder, the Rams are a fascinating example or a fascinating case for why the draft ain't as important as it feels like it is to us every year. There is no football. Obviously, we're pretty far away from the Super Bowl that was just played and the start of the next season. So we obsess about the draft. But as a reminder, it's not the end of the world if it goes your way or it doesn't go your team's way. Look at the Rams. This is their first round pick since they took Jared Goff. Jared Goff took him to a Super Bowl in a near MVP season. Then they lost. Then they traded away Jared Goff. Then Jared Goff goes, that the Rams win the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, in case you hadn't heard about that. Then Jared Goff goes to Detroit and then it's floundering a little bit and people say, poor guy. And then all of a sudden he's a big hero up in Detroit and took that team on a big Super Bowl run. All that since their last first round draft pick. It ain't the end of the world if it doesn't go your way, if the pick was screwed up, if you didn't have one in 2024 and all the rest of it. I know Bills fans at the time of this recording are wringing their hands about what their team has done. I do think that they're going to wind up getting one of those high end vet receivers that would feel like they're out on the market, especially with the Niners drafting Ricky Pierce all out of Florida. You think one of those Niners receivers is going to move. Higgins might move. So I think that that's probably the plot there with the Bills. But who cares about what I think? Let's talk to a real draft expert.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I know everybody thinks they're a draft expert, but you can count them on maybe not one hand, but if you have like three hands, I think you could probably accomplish the feat of people who actually know what they're talking about, especially when you start getting down to the guys at the line of scrimmage. I am talking about one of my favorite draft analysts. He's on NFL.com with his post round one grades. And let's take a look ahead to what awaits our eyeballs, our hearts, and all the rest of it. He's Chad Ryder. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
Who's that guy that thinks the workout in Indianapolis should be called the Combine?
That's right. Check. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's early in the morning here in LA. Got to take care of the lower register while I still have it. So thought I'd throw that one out there for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, you sound you're right there by the shoreline too. You're like the old man in the sea. But
absolutely,
you gave out some C's to teams drafting in the first round. You gave out some A's. Let's go through it here. I don't know if you heard, but Football America had its collective jaw drop by the Falcons apparently having amnesia and forgetting that they had just paid a guy $180 million. And he's 36. And then they were like, oh, did we just use the 8th overall pick to get another guy at that same position? Let's start there and we'll move on. But you know what? It's the big subject post round one. So weigh in here. I do think, and I'm sorry to keep setting you up here, but I think it's interesting that on Friday morning, our mutual pals, Aaron Nagler and Greg Rosenthal, are going back and forth, and they're in the minority saying, hey, look at what the Packers did 2 years ago. And everybody thought that was insane when they took Jordan Love, but it's worked out okay for them. I see it as two very different circumstances that aren't that comparable. Yeah. How say you?
Very different circumstances. They did not just give Aaron Rodgers a major contract before, you know, like signing Jordan Love. And Jordan Love was later in the first round, first of all. And by the way, not everybody hated that pick. This guy gave it an A-, because I love Jordan Love. And at that point in the first round, with the way that Rodgers was pulling the Brett Favre thing, that made a lot of sense to me. I know a lot of people ripped them for not taking T. Higgins. He turned out to be a pretty good player. But I like the Jordan Love pick. This is a different animal. You're using a top 10 pick. After giving a major contract to a guy who's 36 coming off an injury. So the question is, which is the worst move? Giving Cousins that contract or picking Penix? And honestly, like, it might have been giving Cousins that move and taking Penix. Just as the player, Michael Penix would have been the second or third quarterback off the board without the injury history. Okay. So if you just look at the player value, it's pretty good. But missing four seasons at Indiana, or missing the end of four seasons with injuries in Indiana. And yes, all quarterbacks can get injured. We saw that with Anthony Richardson. But if he gets hurt, now you're talking about a third surgery on a knee or a third surgery on a shoulder. And that's a different ballgame. So there's a lot of risk in this pick. And, you know, it's interesting, like, teams are not as worried about dead money as they used to be because of salary cap increases. So like, if we have to take a $50 million hit because we let Kirk Cousins go after a year, you know, whatever, we'll do it. I'm like, that's a different way of thinking. And Penix is also not a 22-year-old with, you know, he's 24 with an injury history. So it's a perplexing move. Could he be a good quarterback in 2 years? Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you know, nobody's doubting that. It's just a weird move that involves a lot of risk.
Yeah. I mean, it's apparently they think Fontenot thinks he's playing like 4D chess here. But of course, the pipeline is rich every year with quarterbacks. It's very weird. But I'm also for the flood the zone with quarterback options in the NFL. And I also happen to think that draft picks have become a little bit overvalued. People get obsessive about it. And we keep seeing examples of the ability to, in the last half decade or decade, that you can move on from a bad draft pick. If you use your first round pick on a quarterback, there's no reason you can't turn around and do the same thing the following year. What interests me, I mean, I have a million different directions I could go off of what you just said there, but one thing that caught my ear is I've heard in the last, say, year, a lot more talk about quarterbacks and in general that there's an injury history there. And I didn't used to think that that was much of a red flag for guys on your end of things, that was sort of like, it's just bad luck. You know, guys aren't injury prone per se, but I do hear more and more guys in your spot talking about the fact that, like, that's not, it's not just completely random. bad coincidence that the same guys keep getting hurt? And is that now, or I mean, has it always been part of the evaluation? Like, maybe this guy gets hurt a little bit too much to be dependable.
Well, it's funny. Like, teams seem to be going the opposite direction because you saw guys like Yatu Latu get picked in the middle of the first round instead of maybe at the end of the first round. And then Panic's actually going eight. And look, if a guy had an ACL 3 years ago and he's fine now, that's one thing. But when a guy gets multiple on shoulder and knee at the quarterback position, even with all the rules that are set up to help protect quarterbacks and all that stuff, you know, it's something you have to consider. And I kept Penix in the second round at the top pick of the second round in this mock, in my mocks, because of that risk. So I just think you have to, it's got to be part of the equation at some point, especially a multiple injury situation. And you've seen like Jonathan Brooks, for example, from Texas, had the ACL in November, and you're like, oh, running backs, blah, blah, blah. Well, I put him in the first round in one of my mock drafts specifically to talk about him and Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley had the same knee injury at the same time of year and was still a top 10 pick and ran the ball 1,000 times in his first 4 years. Okay. So teams look at that, and with the marvels of modern medicine, can make these guys good. So they're, I think teams are actually kind of going the other way about it. But when you're evaluating a prospect, you have to talk about those things. What is the level of risk? And the difference between a second and a first round pick is not always talent, but risk assessment.
And, it's funny because I've heard a lot of I've heard a fair amount of buzz that part of the thing with Kenny Pickett was like not dependable based on the injury history now. Like he's gotten hurt one too many times to present as a guy who, you know, is going to be able to go out there for 17 games. I sort of still lean, unless you're a super mobile guy who doesn't have that instinct to get down the half second before you get smacked by the big 4-3 defender coming at you. Those guys notwithstanding, that it is some owed to some degree to luck. But then again, the guys are so big and fast now that if you're a QB running 220, you may not be big enough to take those shots in today's NFL.
Well, you know, like I said, Anthony Richardson's a big dude and he went out with injury last year. And so it is luck at some level. So anybody could get hurt, but you know, when you have a history of something, not a one-off, but a history of something, it's part of the, for example, Nick Chubb from Georgia, another example of a guy with knee injury or whatever. And he's been really good in the NFL when he's been healthy, but he hasn't been healthy enough to really take advantage of that. So, you know, that's why you have to consider these things when after you've evaluated the player, then when you're actually going to pick him, the valuation process, that's got to be part of the equation.
Sure. I mean, I call it Mark Bavaro syndrome. Starting today, I call it that. Mark Bavaro syndrome, Jeremy Shockey, Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton, Shaquille O'Neal, Mario Lemieux, Eric Lindros. The biggest guys, remarkably, are the ones who wear out the quickest because they're always the common factor in those collisions.
Bo Jackson.
I mean, the big dudes are the ones who always are Earl Campbell. They're the guys who get beaten up more quickly because it takes so much to get them down to the ground. Okay. I mean, I could go on and on about Penix, but if you have any, what do you think the dynamic is? And then we'll move on to other subjects, I promise. But it's fascinating to me because it does appear as though, or the reports indicate, that they didn't do a ton of work on Penix. And again, $180 million devoted to Kirk Cousins, who is especially interesting in this equation because, like we say, two different scenarios with Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago. First of all, that Packers team was coming off a title game. So, you know, they were messing with the fringes to try and take one more step to get to the big game. That's not where the Falcons are. Aaron Rodgers prides himself on being like, you know, I'm the driver, you know, get on board. No one wants to be here if it's not for me. Kirk Cousins, and I've talked to Kirk specifically about this. I was struck, you know, however long ago when he first broke out with the, you like that and all that stuff. Yeah. I had a chance to sit down with him for an extended conversation. And I said, you know, I've never seen it, you know, in the NFL, a quarterback, that type A personality, act the way Kirk did and does, which is, if you ever hear him mic'd up, he's always like to his receivers after a big play, like, that's why you're the best in the league. That's what we need from you. That's it. And I said, why do you do that? I've never heard a quarterback praise other guys as much as you do. And he said, it's because I need it. I'm not one of those guys who can just carry anybody to success. I need high-end talent around me to thrive. And so that, to me, I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers cried about it. Like, I needed a receiver, not to groom another QB. But Kirk Cousins is telling you, I need help. And they didn't give him any. So it makes it extra weird. And it makes me think, not that I don't think it's overly conspiratorial to say, as you kind of said a couple minutes ago, this kind of sets up to be Kirk one and done in Atlanta, or no?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think. I mean, just look, you pick a 24-year-old guy, he's going to be 26 when he takes over with injury history. I mean, the thing is that quarterbacks now we're seeing can play until they're 38, 39 years old with right. the rules and all that stuff. So, you know, you can still get 10 years out of the guy regardless. But, well, if he resigns as a free agent, of course, or if you bring him in. But again, with a guy, let's just say that they took Drake May instead of Michael Penix. That makes a lot more sense to me in terms of a guy that you can sit for a couple of years while Cousin get his, you know, does with his thing, and then you bring him in. That makes a lot more sense to mm-hmm. me in that case. So, I'm all for, like, Atlanta should have taken, I had them taking a quarterback in the mid rounds. Perfect spot for that. Get a guy in that could maybe do. And, you know, after going through Desmond Ridder, maybe they didn't want to do that. Maybe they wanted to find the elite guy that they thought could be at. And so, like, look, I get that part of it. But, like, you know, edge rusher, corner. And look, Brock Bowers, I really wanted them to take Brock Bowers, because if you could imagine that sure. group of skill position players, that would have been fantastic. So, I agree. It's perplexing. That's why I love the draft, because this stuff happens and we can't predict it, right? Coming into the, and that's what makes it fun. And for, you know, from an outsider, just watching, it's so great that we can still have these surprises, even with all the coverage we have. It's great.
It is amazing. Yeah. We just did a whole episode on the 74 Steelers draft, but that was 50 years ago. It may as well have been 500 years ago, given the differences, like you say, the amount of attention paid to it. Perennially, it's weird that they're still, but I'm trying to come up with, I'm hypothesizing what they were thinking there, because even Arthur Blank is in there in the war room afterward. And it sure seems like he's saying, like, what the hell, man? What the hell? Did you forget that we just took Kirk Cousins? Is it a Bill Simmons thing in our fantasy league? Simmons infamously, he's never won the league, not coincidentally, but he loves to take, like, he'll load up with like four quarterbacks and be like, now everybody's got to come to me if they want a good quarterback. It's like, well, there are more than 12 quarterbacks starting in the NFL, so we'll just take another one of those. Like, are they playing fantasy football?
No, does Fondo think like, so.
I'll deal one of these guys at some point during
I don't, I mean, I wouldn't think so. Not with with Cousins. I think it would be tough. Like, you saw what the Falcons got for Matt Ryan. And I mean, maybe teams are learning from some of these veteran quarterback trades. I would hope at some point they would learn from that. No, I think to me, my guess is that the thinking is, with Cousins in here, we're going to be picking lower in the rounds in the next couple of years. So if we get a chance to take a guy we think could be a special player in a couple of years early in the draft, we're going to do that. And we're going to do it now while we have the opportunity. That would be, I guess, one of the thought processes there.
Okay. Next in the quarterback league, Denver, what they've done, boy, it all funnels back to Pittsburgh, at least in my brain, but I am thinking about, I am legitimately thinking about, first of all, the Falcons could have avoided all this mess if they would have just brought in Justin Fields. I know it's not the same premise. Yeah. Now you have five years with Penix. If you want to have 5 years with him, versus 1 year and making a quick decision, but still really weird. And then the other quarterback now in Pittsburgh is Russell Wilson. And of course, Sean Payton. Is it fair that we still just in a cavalier way, just announced Sean Payton's a quarterback whisperer. Are there indications, as far as you can tell, that maybe we've overstated that over the years? I'm looking for something here because
he hasn't. I mean, weird. I don't know that he's really pushed a young quarterback to the next level. I mean, obviously he had Drew Brees, but he was kind of a known quantity other than the shoulder. So I don't know that he's taken a lot of young quarterbacks and made them into superstar quarterbacks. I don't think we've seen that. So, I mean, obviously he played the position. He's been around the league for a long time, worked a lot of people. So I'm not going to doubt his ability to do it, but I can't sit here and name four quarterbacks that he turned into starters while he's been in the league either. So I think that's possible. But I think the thing with
I will say you know, if you apply that title to people, he's a QB whisperer. It's not always that he turns a guy into a star. It's sort of like Kyle Shanahan made Matt Ryan into an MVP when he's probably, a middle class kind of quarterback or, upper middle class quarterback or whatever. And he did. Payton did do some good work with guys that were fringy in Dallas and beyond. It's sort of like Andy Reid elevated AJ Feely. I think that's some of his greatest work.
But Coy Detmer
and all that.
Yeah, but Sean Mannion didn't turn into anything after he was a third round pick. You know what I'm saying? Like he had chances in New Orleans to do that too, and it didn't happen. Tyson Hill's been great as a tight end, right? I mean, it's interesting. But like I said, I'm not going to doubt the guy that he knows what he's doing. I just don't think there's a huge resume of him. But the thing is with Bo Nix, that's one reason they took him, is you don't have to like teach him how to play quarterback. He knows how to do that. It's just a matter of whether you can, as we're talking about, take him to the next level in terms of his physical, like he doesn't have a huge arm. He's got fine arm. Can he limit the mistakes? And I've been saying through this whole process that if there's one guy that looks a lot like Brock Purdy in this draft, it's Bo Nix. So maybe they saw what a guy like Purdy does. But you have to surround him with the defense and the weapons and everything else. And Denver is not at that point yet. So maybe not too far off that point, maybe with some changes over the next couple of years. It's a difficult division and it's going to be tough. But I think one reason they like him is that he just goes out and does the job as a professional quarterback. Well, he's started 61 games, so he's pretty much professional quarterback at this point. That's why they liked him. And that's why I figured he'd be a top 12 pick. I had Minnesota taking him at 11, assuming somebody would take JJ McCarthy. So he went in about the area that I thought was his highest part. And, will he be Christian Ponder? Is he a guy that looks like a quarterback, but can never get to that next level than just being a guy? You know, that's what remained to be seen. But Denver needed a guy, going to get a guy tier once Bo Nix was off the board. So they went with it. And people were saying, hey, you need to trade down and then pick the quarterback. That doesn't happen. Like, that does not happen. Because you don't ever see that. And the reason is because you just leave yourself open to another team, like the Rams, for example. Rams probably would have been all over Bo Nix if he would have been available later. So you can't make that move. You have to either take them and live with it or move on and go for a Spencer Rattler or something like that late in the draft.
Boy, I'm surprised to hear you say that the Rams would have jumped on him, because McVay has gone from Goff to Stafford, combined their biggest virtue is the gigantic arm that they have. And that's not what Nix has going for him. It's funny. It's sort of like the Samson effect, that Samson knows he needs to have the long hair. I feel like Sean Payton is playing his own greatest hits for himself. I thought Russell Wilson, because he genuflexed to Drew Brees, famously always said that was his quarterback idol and model and all that, that it wasn't a fit for Russ with Payton in Denver. But now you hear all the comps that Payton sees Nix as being Drew Brees and that they have the same skill sets, which is so it's interesting that the bridge in a way is sort of Brock Purdy for the whole thing. And you're right. Well, that does make sense.
Yeah. And to me, like, people might see that, but like, Bo Nix is not the pocket quarterback that Drew Brees was at Purdue. He just isn't. He doesn't throw the lasers from the pocket with the great anticipation that Drew Brees did at Purdue. He didn't, and became even better at it in the NFL. But I mean, in terms of the competitiveness. Obviously, size, Knicks is a little bigger, but, you know, they're kind of a thicker, compact build. There are some things you like about that, but I think people just draw that line because of Peyton and the Saints at Breeze. If Drew Breeze had never played for Sean Payton, nobody would say that. So I've tried to look for other people that are more similar, and Purdy is a lot more similar in terms of his mobility out of the pocket, kind of makes plays, will sometimes make the wrong play. But Knicks has gotten a lot better at that since leaving Auburn. Well, he started so many games now, you learn how to get out of that. To me, that's a more apt comparison.
Interesting. And, you know, I bring up the Sean Payton thing because, and what is alleged about, you know, how good he is with quarterbacks and all that. So much of it, first of all, with draft reaction, grading what we just saw, the people grading it, you are the people who told us before the draft who you thought these teams should take. So it's an exercise in self-validation to some degree to say, like, I'm grading this pick because I thought it would be a good pick if that team got that guy, and now they got him. So, A, obviously that's right. That's going to be the math. And, like, they didn't take the guy, and they didn't even take the position I thought they desperately needed. D-minus for you,
right,
team.
Right.
I get how all that goes, but also a lot of it has to do with the vibes of the drafter, which is to say, Sean Payton's like, Bo Nix gets a certain level of a pass here. Like, this is going to work out because he's like Drew Brees, and Sean Payton knows what he's doing at the quarterback position. Never mind what your eyes have told you for the last 8 years or so. Same is true with Jim Harbaugh. Everybody loves the Joe Alt pick with the Chargers because Jim Harbaugh sits there after the fact and says stuff like, we consider offensive linemen weapons.
I love it.
But is that the right thing to do? A premium pick at that spot there, should they have gone for Malik Nabers or someone along those lines?
I the only reason that I didn't really knock that one as much as I kind of wanted to is because the depth at receiver is pretty good. And I think they can get somebody a little bit later that's going to try to fill that void. Do I think that Joe Alt is a generational Joe Thomas talent at tackle? No. I think he's pretty good, and I think he's going to be pretty good for a long time. I mean, he's a 10-year starter, and he's going to be pretty good. But to me, like, it wouldn't have been surprising if they took Brock Bowers. It wouldn't have been surprising if they took Malik Nabers just to build that offense and then try to add another offensive line piece a little bit later. So I didn't give them an A for that. I gave him a B+. And to get back to your point about the grading and all that, I try to be very clear up front with these post-draft grades that it's more about the team and their process and how they value rather than, you know. And I think the thing is that you have, when you're doing these grades, and people say, oh, doesn't mean anything after the draft. We'll wait until 3 years from now. But what happens 3 years from now is that people forget and they start using hindsight to make these evaluations. And so you have to put it in terms of how did this pick match the consensus value of these players, you know, based on people who actually watch things. And how did that match their needs at the time of the pick? So the draft grades after the draft, immediately after drafts, are necessary. And because that sets the baseline. And the only thing you have to go on that is how the players, how you thought and others, you know, you can't just be you. You have to kind of look around and see what a consensus is. Maybe I'm too high on a guy or not. And write that down and say, this did not match what people thought going into it. Then 3 years from now, you can say, oh, wow, we were right. Or they were right, and they get a new grade. So, yes, there's obviously there's ego involved. You want to be right about things, but I think people who are doing it right really try to back up and say, okay, what was the value? They have more than one need, right? I mean, all these teams have more than one need, so you can't just say, oh, they needed to pick a corner, therefore, you know, you gotta look at it more broadly than that. But I think
when we talk about that a lot in the draft process every year is, I think that this is why GMs play what appears to be the safe thing. Whatever is the collective thought in advance is like, Let's just do this because then we can fall back on like, that's what everybody thought we should do in that slot. We're not going to roll the dice. We didn't roll the dice. We did what anybody would have done in our situation.
Yeah, right? I have yet to hear a GM say anything like that. And maybe they end up doing that. I'm not reaching into their brain. But in their opinion, they got their jobs because they think they're good at evaluating players. And so they're going to go with their evaluation. They're going to go with their staff and their evaluation. And they're not, they say they're not going to look at what anybody does and they're not going to care what any. Now we're all human and stuff creeps in there and that's part of the thing. But as a GM told me a long time ago, if you listen to the fans and the media, you will soon be sitting with them. And I think they have to go about their process like that. But I have done a little data study on this in terms of what happens when teams go off the consensus value. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of people will say, hey, you get your guy, it doesn't matter where you pick him. And Patriots have shown over the last, the Bill Belichick Patriots have shown that that's not necessarily true. But even league-wide, if you look at things, if you take players that were picked in the same general area where we expected them to be picked, and you compare them with players that were picked earlier than consensus value, the players that were picked earlier are statistically significantly less productive than the peer in consensus value.
Well, and the guys that we thought, that's Cole Strange to my ear, but I don't know.
Yes. And others, Jordan Richards. I mean, there's tons of the guys that you can say that in the Patriots because they had a small board. And so it's the Patriots going to be very interesting to watch this year to see if they continue to do that or not. But anyway, I think the grading process is important. And I don't think teams are, I really don't think teams are consciously thinking about what other people say.
I'm making fun of you to some degree or to people who grade drafts, but I completely get what you're talking about applying the context of like, that's a bad fit. I also think it's very weird when pro football teams, and lately I've been hearing a lot of that with my favorite team about like, this guy is a great fit for Arthur Smith's offense. Like, who cares what Arthur Smith wants? I care what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers need going forward, but I don't care what the offensive coordinator who in success is going to leave next year or maybe in 2 years to go be a head coach again. I mean, like, what are we talking about? Well, I don't care what Arthur Smith's offense requires. It's a weird statement.
And I think people are looking for those picks, and you're absolutely right. Like, that guy could be gone in 2 years, and we still got the player. And then people don't wonder why the first-round picks don't work out. You're right. That's why you have. And when you have the head coach and the GM being the same person, that makes that very difficult. And it doesn't work very well very often.
You know what's funny about that, though? And then we'll move on. I'm sorry, I won't hold you up much longer here. But it's funny because I do think at the end of the day that the number one reason on the list of reasons Kenny Pickett is no longer in Pittsburgh is because he wasn't Omar Khan's draft pick. And I think Mike Tomlin is steering the ship. And we've talked about it, that Khan's the executor of Tomlin's will to some degree, to a large degree even. But I also think that like any other business, if you didn't hire the guy, you're not beholden to him. And so you're more willing to move on to get your guys in there. I just think that's the way to, I think we ignore or expect people who are strangers to us to behave in a manner that we don't behave ourselves in our own lives. And I think it's a little, I mean, I think that's the, I think that's the reality is like, I didn't take him. I'm not going to commit the next 5 years of my career to that guy. I didn't bring him in the first place.
That's why I thought the Giants might take a quarterback because they are not beholden to Daniel Jones, even though they gave him the extension, which was a mistake. They're not beholden to him as a draft pick. But maybe the fact they gave him maybe a big extension had a part to play in that. I don't know. But I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I could do 2 hours more with you and take through every player that's already been drafted, let alone the ones coming up. So quickly, Ricky Pierce all to San Francisco. This has to indicate that Ayuk or Debo is gone, right? And Higgins, I think I could still see that or Hendrickson working out in Cincy, but not both maybe. So I do think there are going to be some big name receivers still to move here. How say you? My big prediction is the Steelers will get one of those receivers. How say you?
Well, do you think the Bengals would trade in division?
No,
It's Ayuk then, right? I mean, if you're going to make a move like that, yeah. I think we're going to see one guy at least move, probably Ayuk, if I've had to guess. And it should be interesting. I mean, obviously, they weren't going to get first round picks for him anyway. So, you know, you're going to get a second or a third or something like that. I'm sorry. I just thought of Chase Claypool getting a second round pick, and I just started laughing automatically. So, you know, look, it's going to be interesting day two. See if some veterans make some moves.
Mapletron, water finds its level. I believe he's back up in the CFL, or, you know, kind of probably where he belonged in the first place. All right. So we'll see what happens there. And yeah, I mean, I do think that the incestuous, I mean, they're rivals, but the Bills traded to the Chiefs, and it feels like I feel like, boy, the Bills recognize, like, we ain't ever going to get past the Chiefs. And so we're going to see to it that no one ever does either. And then we'll always have that excuse. Like, what were we supposed to do? The Patrick Mahomes was in our conference when we were in our sweet spot. What were we supposed to do? And so now they just handed the, are we overstating it a little bit here, or is Worthy the real deal?
Yeah, no. I've had since the combine, when he proved the speed we thought he had, I have projected Kansas City to move up to get Worthy in every mock draft. Hmm. And I thought that they would have to go up a little further for him, but the way things played out, Seattle didn't have to move because Byron Murphy was there. So if Byron Murphy would have been at Seattle, they would have moved out. I'm pretty sure of it. Hmm. So in that case, they didn't have to move up that far for Worthy. And I would not have imagined that the Bills would trade that. I mean, the first thing I thought of was Xavier Worthy running 80 yards for a touchdown against the Bills in the playoffs. And everybody in that, you know, if they're playing in Buffalo or watching at home, every Bills fan is like, why did we do that for not much? They didn't get three first round picks. So it's really weird. And, you know, but in the end, they trusted their valuation. They said, we don't think he's going to be a superstar. We think we can get a guy that's just as good a little bit later. And so you have to trust your process, but I had to write that. That one was right up there when I said, we're going to have to see if Jalen Reagor is really better than Justin Jefferson. I'm going to want to see that in a couple of years, because that's something we're going to have to check out. So Worthy to the Chiefs is.
Chef's
they already
kiss.
Won two in a row. What are we doing? What are we
and
doing?
And now the Bills, but by the way, now the Bills get one of those guys, which would be funny as I talk about the incestuous AFC North front runners. If they wind up with T. Higgins, which seems like a possibility to me, unless the Bengals say, like, forget the division, we're not trading within the conference.
Going into the division. And it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of receivers coming off the board today, too. So at what point does a team say, okay, these guys, we're not going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see when that move would make, how many receivers come off the board before that move is made.
So to be exacting about my point where the Steelers are concerned, I think that the Steelers, well, we know the Steelers were unhappy with not just Deontay Johnson and George Pickens carrying on, and both of those guys. And it felt like they were feeding off of each other. But Deontay Johnson was the big brother, so he was the fall guy. He's now in Carolina. I think they barely salvaged George Pickens. That was right on the razor's edge. And I think they righted the ship, and he had the great stretch run and all of that. But I still think that in their heads, very much like they said, we need to get some competition in here in the quarterback room. I think they probably perceive that to be the case there too. So maybe a second round, third round wide receiver to support George Pickens is the thought.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet you they think that they need to get a model, somebody, a better big brother for George Pickens. That's why I think they're going to go with the known entity and spend on it, like I say, whether it's Ayuk or otherwise.
Sure. It's interesting. So is Brandon Ayuk a better big brother than, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if Ayuk is going to come in and lift the receiver room to another level.
I don't think he's better.
Deontay
Johnson was great. He got to be a pain in the butt, apparently, with locker room fights and that fumble or not jumping on the ball in Cincinnati. That's really where the spiral really picked up steam, was when he didn't jump on a loose ball in Cincinnati. But I think in terms of production and all of that, I don't think it's a big upgrade from Deontay Johnson.
like, to me, if you trade for one of those veterans, and I get it if they do that, but like a guy like Ladd McConkey, that I would think the, you know, there's going to be teams at the top of the second round that's going to look at that guy and says, yeah, he had the injury, but a locker room guy, an excellent receiver. This is the kind of guy we want in our team. And, you know, maybe Pittsburgh would be better off getting a guy like that. I mean, depending on the price for the veteran, of course. I mean, if you
I happen to agree with you. I'm just saying what I think the Steelers are thinking. I agree. Best I can read the tea leaves.
Sure. So anyway, that's kind of my thought on that, because they could have a chance. It's going to be very, if they haven't picked, like a guy like A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, could be George Pickens too. So are you going to pick another guy like that in the second round? I don't know, but the talent is there. So that's always the and the Steelers have been doing this for a long time, picking guys that maybe some other teams have questions about. And so they go ahead and take them. Now to me, like in the second round, Jackson Powers Johnson, if he's available because of injuries or whatever, and we had a lot of conversations about Creed Humphrey, right, in that draft. And I think he's the Creed Humphrey of this draft, that there may be questions about him. And hopefully somebody takes him early in the second. But if he's available middle of second round and the Steelers don't have him, I mean, even with Fautanu, I mean, this offensive line needs to be improved, right? And this team has proven they can turn second, third round receiver, even a third round receiver, into a pretty good player. So I don't know. I think JPJ would be great on this team. And I just, you know, they got to look in that direction.
JPJ over Adam Frazier. If you're choosing between
Over Zach Frazier, absolutely.
Oh, Adam Frazier, the baseball player. So I get the names confused.
I'm with you.
I appreciate you picking up what I dropped there. By the way, congratulations on your Brew Crew coming back to split the series against the emerging Buccos. Okay, two questions, and then that's it. And then you go about your draft analysis for the rest of the weekend, and you go down to the beach in Hermosa, and you frolic in the sea, and you take your bath, and you don't just wash off the day's soils, but all of society's ills, and you emerge baptized, a new Chad for the rest of this NFL draft and beyond. Okay, unfair question. 1, 2, 3, win, play, show, Hall of Famers in this draft. Who's in your one slot? You have to, your reputation.
Okay, win, play, show.
Being staked here.
In my Hall of Fame. Okay. One is Caleb Williams.
Boo. So lame.
I know. Hey. You didn't give me any time to prep for this.
I'm
just going off top of my
head. Right.
Place, Brock Bowers. I'm trying to not say a particular name because you're going to boo me again. Okay.
Place? I'm trying to think of who you think is who is booable. I mean,
place is.
Are you going to go Jaden Daniels?
Xavier Worthy.
Ooh, okay, that's a fun one. You know, I do think that all the you know, Harbaugh and beyond kind of talked themselves into like, we got to get the foundation set because that's what I'm about, and the devil, we got to do. But I do think that Bowers, if you think about, again, like I talked about with Sean Payton, and like, this is how I've had success in the league. If Jim Harbaugh reflects and thinks like Vernon Davis, like, ooh, guy who can work that seam deep for my offense, and the difference that made with Vernon Davis in the Niners when we made that Super Bowl. And I think that kind of bugs me, were I a Chargers guy. Okay.
Yeah.
So one more. So wait, so we've got Worthy, and then in between is Bowers.
Yeah.
And then number one is Caleb Williams. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I respect it. You ticked off a few before you go. The five names that you covet the most on the board, regardless of situation going forward.
Okay. So the guy that I liked probably the most that didn't get picked, Cooper DeJean from Iowa. He wasn't a lock first round pick. There was nobody that didn't get picked in the first round that I thought should have. So they matched up pretty well with what I thought, but I took some chances in my mock draft because you have to. But in terms of the guy that's probably the best is DeJean, because I think he's an all around player, similar to Brian Branch. And I think teams don't know what to do with guys like that sometimes. But I mean, DeJean's workout was much better than Brian Branch's workout, but I think they're similar players, and I think they're both going to be really good pros. So top five. Okay. I like Johnny Newton, and I thought he may drop out of the first round, and he did. But I think that dude's a stud. He's going to be – quarterbacks are going to be watching out for him on every play. He's going to play the run. He's going to fit. Some team's going to put him in that three technique spot, and he's going to wreck offensive line. So I guess that would be the second guy.
I thought Dallas might do that or what. Yeah, because I think that with the emergence of the relevant playoff teams – almost all of them have that position. I try to see what the Joneses have in the playoffs, or you know, and that is almost a common thing that guys have. That you just it's the minimum standard that you have to have a guy who can bring pressure.
That interior pressure is really important. Yeah, Marshawn Nealon, the guys that I thought might go in the first round. It's not a deep edge group. And I think he's going to be a real player. I think he played at Western Michigan, so people didn't really see him. But he is fast off the ball, and he is strong, and he proved that athleticism. So I thought he could go in the first round, but he'll go early in the second, and he's one of my top guys. So it's at Dejean, Newton, and there. Okay, so that's three. Blake Corum. I love Blake Corum, and I'm not afraid to say it out loud. I think if the Chargers picked him in the second, that would be a perfect – if any Michigan guy goes,
sure, right,
ball,
makes
it
sense.
It could be Corum. So he's going to run that ball. He's a smart runner. He came off a knee injury last year, so he wasn't as explosive as he could be, and he will be as a rookie. So I love that dude. He's just smart and tough and quick, and he's just got a nose for the end zone. He just loves it.
And when he's got his helmet on, you would like you could be a Chargers fan conceivably. And if you put him in the right number, like they might not even know it's not Austin Eckler. Right? I mean, it feels that.
That's right. Okay, so that's four. And then I'm going to go with I'm going to go a little bit off script here with Cooper Beebe. I don't know if he'll be picked early in the second round, but I don't care what his arm length is. I don't care that he looks like the biggest barrel-chested dude since 1940s cartoons where you have the guy just wearing the barrel over his, Depression era joke for those of us that are old enough to remember such things. He is a football player, and like it's said a lot, but it means something to me. We'll start you at left guard. Hey, why don't you move to right tackle for a few plays? Hey, we need you at left tackle. This guy got hurt. He's all over the place. He does his job great in every aspect. He gets after the play. He's going to be a fantastic pro. And I think if he lasts outside the first 10 picks of the second round, teams are just missing the boat on him.
All right. So you continued with the theme, the barrel going over the edge, and then they missed the boat. Right. They were going.
That's where I'm at.
In the barrel,
that's where I'm at. I say these dad jokes, even when I don't mean to say them. They just come
out. I'm your
out
audience, fella. No, listen.
I appreciate
look at how we just teamed up there. Listen, I'm glad we teamed up. I apologize. I say this to a lot of our guests. It's because the guests, the people that I like to bring on the show, I enjoy talking to. And then I always say to them, like, I promise it'll be like 20 minutes. And then it's at least double that. And so I apologize to you, but it's your fault for being interesting and having interesting things to say that make me come up with other questions on the spot. But go enjoy the second round all the way through, Mr. Irrelevant. And we appreciate the time as always, fella. Keep on grading and follow him. By the way, we didn't even get into. You know what? I want you to hear me say it. Troy Fountain. I think I got it. Okay, good.
That was one of my picks in my 7-round mock. Steelers getting.
Go ahead, you say it. Say it like a cheesehead.
Fautanu.
Troy Fautanu.
This is why coaches call guys Washington or 69 or whatever their number is, because.
Dude, you didn't see who the Steelers got. Dude, they got that big dude from Washington. He loved Troy Polamalu, so you know he's a good dude. Troy Fautanu. I go and get his jersey and all that.
The offensive tackle, as we say in quasi-Canada.
Offensive, right. All right, listen. Ryder, you're the tops. We'll talk hopefully sooner rather than later. Enjoy your special weekend.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And now a quick break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, that's that. He said a lot. I didn't mean to keep him. I didn't mean to keep you so long, Brett. You, the audience, I didn't mean to keep you so long either. We had a lot to talk about. Big plans for the weekend there, Brett.
Big
soccering going on.
Well, there'll be some soccer, and there'll be some NFL draft watching. There will also be some high school plays. My niece is one of the co-leads here, so I got a varied weekend here, and then I'm going to read everybody's Penix reactions because it's just enjoyable to see.
Then you'll know. Once you read their reactions, then you'll know whether or not he's going to be good. You didn't know it on Wednesday, but once you read everybody's draft grades, then you'll know. I tease. Hey, I'm going to see my little boy and his school play too. It's the Seussical, Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
We're going to go do that. We're going to go to celebrate Oprah's birthday this weekend. So we're chock full of stuff too this weekend. Whatever you do, I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back on the other side of the sports weekend to try to make sense of it for you. In the meantime, check out Trendy Eddie Spaghetti in this week. With Toby Mergler, I mentioned Covered in Glory, Lemon Pepper Parlay fellas are in their sweet spot between the Chiefs and the Saints are trying to do in the NBA playoffs and all the rest of it. Make sure you're checking out all the great content. Me and Sarah Tiana had a great conversation on Extra Points on Thursday. Make sure you're checking that out. We gave out some do's and don'ts for potential draftees. Do listen to that if you're maybe going to get drafted in the second or third round. You do want to pay attention to these. These are some helpful hints for you. Check that one out as well. And like I say, we'll talk to you soon. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.